.org.
Let's get it started in here.
It's that time of day. We don't know what we will say, but we'll say it anyway. And Samantha's here to push all our buttons. Headlines of the day. We'll be covering it all, okay.
Justice and Drew
is on right now.
Justice and Drew
will be on till 9 o'clock.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. It's chilly out there this morning.
It is pretty chilly.
It's chilly.
It needs to change just to keep Drew from being cranky.
I'm not cranky.
Are you cranky today?
No.
Why are you cranky? It's Minnesota.
Here we go. He's a little cranky when you walked
this
in.
Is
I just
still...
said it was cold. That's all. I wasn't cranky. I was like, ooh, it's cold out there.
It's out of the norm for you to complain about stuff. That's all. So when you do, we have to highlight it.
Yeah, really dwell on it.
Yeah, yeah, well,
that,
yeah.
That makes it better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know it's one of your favorite things is to have other people talk about how annoyed you are.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not. That's the thing.
And I know
I
you
get annoyed.
I know people... that you love it when people dwell.
Mm. You know what?
What?
I'll check back in at Sam's Top 5.
Cool. It worked.
You guys go ahead.
Why are you trying to get rid of Drew now? I'm so confused.
I'm just being silly.
You got to brief me on these things.
No, I'm with you. What I don't like is the is it's like this morning. It's 1 degree, but the roads are totally fine.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're all, you know what I mean. There's
mine were still pretty icy.
Were they? Yeah, I mean, driving in for me, it was totally fine, yeah. But it was still just bitter cold.
The side roads from my house to get to like 62 and 494 were still very slippery.
Eden Prairie really needs to catch up and discover salt.
Yeah, they need to invent salt.
Yeah, in Eden Prairie.
You should get for your car. You should get some salt and have it dispense out of your car.
Yes, I should attach a salt dispenser to my, like a salt projectile that goes ahead of my car.
Yeah, I think that you should have gotten up like 2 hours earlier so that you could sprinkle salt on your whole drive to 62.
I'll tell you what. Tomorrow we buy in bulk the big box of the large granular like Norton's salt.
Uh-huh.
I'll bring some, because we keep the big industrial size box.
Hey, go get
those
it
big,
at Costco.
Those big chunky salt. I'll get that.
Bring it over to my house.
I'll bring it back into you for work, and you can scrape it around where you live because I want to help out my friend.
Sprinkle it all over the road.
So helpful, both of you.
We try.
Just we're trying,
tremendously helpful.
We're just trying to be supportive friends.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. You know what? If you don't want to accept our advice, that's on you.
I'm good, thanks. I'll figure it out.
Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka will be joining us right around 7:35 this morning. Looking forward to talking with him. Pete Hegseth from Fox News will be on right around 8:35. Little preview of tonight's State of the Union.
Tonight should be a spectacle.
I wish it was more of one.
It's going to be very interesting.
He needs to come out like wrestling style with pyrotechnics and flash bombs and smoke and
just the walk down the aisle.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
You know,
yeah.
To the podium is going to be that in itself. The whole thing is going to be fascinating.
Just because
it's
of
going
him.
To be such a spectacle. Yeah. Just because of him and just because of how irrational the Democrats are towards him. I am really looking forward to see what goes down tonight. I'll be very disappointed if it's just sort of your run of the mill State of the Union, where the president gives kind of a milquetoast speech with some policy ideas that probably aren't going to happen, and Republicans stand and clap, and Democrats sit and don't clap. And, you know, I want outbursts.
There's
Democrats yelling from the chamber.
There's a bunch of Democrats not showing up tonight. There's going to be some fairly empty spaces. I wonder if Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be there. I know she made an appearance.
She was seen out in public.
Yeah, at some event about her, right? It was like her daughter.
Her daughter was putting on some musical performance
for Notorious RBG.
Something to that effect.
Yeah. She was out for that. So she's still not back at the Supreme Court yet. So I doubt she'll be there tonight.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, unless
she'll be asleep.
Yeah, she'll take a nap.
I think she slept through the last seven.
And I will say, and maybe I'm being unfair, and they will actually do this, and this is just my perception, but I get the feeling that this could be like a very interesting State of the Union. There is a lot going on in the country, despite all the if you strip away all the nonsense and you just talk about what the president has accomplished via the economy and foreign affairs and North Korea and Syria and the military plans and pulling people out of different regions of the world. There's a lot of interesting things that could be covered that he probably will. I just fear, like normal, that'll all be overshadowed by just a bunch of gobbledygook nonsense, and we won't get any type of. And again, I could be being unfair and just too pessimistic about the media's post coverage.
You have every justification for being pessimistic, about how this will be covered. I'm sitting here wondering if CNN will even show it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll have Don Lemon or Aaron Burnett on beforehand, all fretting and wondering, should we even bother showing the State of the Union when it's President Trump delivering it? It's just going to be full of lies.
It's
attacks on the media.
It's so weird, too, because I watch a lot of YouTube videos, right? Just a lot of pop culture stuff. And so much of that is especially when they talk about last year, so much of it is tinged. They never talk about the politics, but they just throw in these little comments all the time.
The state of our country right now.
So such a hard year for so many people last year.
Yeah, everything's so divided.
Such a difficult time right now.
Get over yourself.
It's in all the commentary. I was watching one, 25 things you missed in the 30-second Avengers Endgame, Super Bowl trailer. And even in that, it's just like, the snap and people disappearing. It's not as bad as things are in the United States right now.
Oh,
but
my God.
And it's just like, and I know they're being ridiculous. I mean, I know they're being silly. But the truth is, it's so infected everything.
Yeah. And when they say things like that, it's rooted in their truth.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what makes it even more sad.
And it wasn't
they really believe this.
Yeah.
That we're living in such a difficult time right now. Yeah. It's like the country's doing fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I feel fine. I'm early 20s, I'm living in this country. I'm feeling pretty good.
Our biggest complaint right now is just the weather.
Yeah, right.
We're complaining about. That really is the biggest complaint.
Everything else is fine.
Apart from all the nonsense.
Should tinge all of our show with, it's just such a hard week with the polar vortex. It's such a difficult time for everybody.
And it wasn't like that when Obama was in office.
No.
It wasn't like that at all. No, you didn't get any of that.
That is like the core of all your media bias, is when Democrats are in charge, they simply just don't report anything negative.
Everything's great. Everything is awesome.
The only negative news are things Republicans do.
Yeah.
Republicans have seized on this and are attacking President Obama. That's the only negative coverage you get when Democrats are in charge.
Yeah, my understanding is Lego Movie 1 was the Obama years, and the Lego Movie 2 that's coming out this weekend is now the Trump years, because everything's gone bad in Legoland, in the Lego world, in the Lego movie. So I think
live in your mind. That's
what it is. in the original Lego movie, everything is awesome. And then if you watch the trailer for the new one, it's like, it's a dark and brooding time.
For the Legos.
Right. But that really is representation of all of us. That's how we connect to it.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Just want to live in your mind.
No, you don't. There should never be a Netflix show like you, John Justice. That should never, ever, ever, ever be the. How's the scouring going?
It's been going great.
Awesome.
Sam's top five now.
Twin City's News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. Sam's Top 5 is coming up in just a moment. Hey, Drew, there's a story we didn't get a chance to get to yesterday.
Yeah.
Out of the Associated Press, the University of Minnesota still seems to be months away from deciding what to do with four campus buildings named after controversial figures.
Just name them all letters.
Yeah.
Building A, Building B.
Right?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is that most of these buildings are named after people that have, you know, donated to the university in some large fashion or have some tie to the university. And, you know, people hold some degree of sentimental value to that.
That's true.
The university's renaming process started after a campus exhibit in 2017 revealed Kaufman's and other former administrators' efforts to segregate housing and spy on Black and Jewish students. You know, they've already done, like, the damage is done, like, across the board, right? The individuals who had these buildings named after them did have some very worthy accomplishments that led to those buildings being named after them. One would presume, even if there were things back during that time, contextually speaking, that obviously were wrong, but more acceptable back then. But by going this route, right, of wanting to rename them and highlighting everything that they did and all that, like, you've done exponentially more damage by bringing so much attention to it than if you had just been like, that was a long time ago. Back then, things were different. We're just going to leave the buildings the way they are, and you move on with life. You do those things in private. Now,
the name of the building is not harming anybody.
Right.
Like, you know, no matter what, you know, these precious little college students think about their precious little feelings, you know, you are not harmed by the name of a building. Call it whatever you want.
Yeah. We should name them after, like, movie characters instead. You know, if you can find, like, benign, you know, like you know, the Bambi building.
Like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
He's going to get offended by Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. But it had to be really benign. Like, I was, you know, I was thinking, like, doing, like, John McClane. But I'm like, no.
The Tony Stark building, room 102.
Oh, there you go. Okay. You can do that. He's good.
Right. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah. I don't think he can point to anything too shady in his past. You know, yeah, I like that. I like that idea.
I want a Groot building.
All right, okay, we're just gonna go all Marvel's Avengers themed.
That's where my head's at.
we'll just Forrest Gump.
Ah, yeah,
the Gump building.
I'm on board with
the Gen A building. Gen A,
yeah, Gen A building. I like
Gen
that.
A.
Where are you going, Gen A?
Okay, put these together.
But you have to pronounce it that way.
Put these together. We'll send them over to the university.
Okay.
We'll add to their confusion.
As potential.
Yeah. We're going to add like 9 months to the process.
Yeah, Dirty Harry. You know Dirty Harry?
It's controversial. He's a police officer, John.
I'm going to the Dirty Harry building.
This segment of Justice and Drew, powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric, Sam's Top 5 for a Tuesday.
Number 1.
We've got some snow heading our way from Carol Levin.
Drew is so exasperated.
Yeah. Awesome. God, I'm so ready for winter to end. I am over it. I'm officially Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. I am over winter.
From Care 11.
It's official.
The first round of snow is arriving midday afternoon today and into the evening, giving us potentially 2 to 4 inches. And then another shot of snow late in the day tomorrow into Thursday morning, which could yield more, potentially 4 to 6 inches. Behind that second round of snow, some bitter cold moves back in. We've got single digits on Friday and sub-zero on Friday night.
Yeah, bring it.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm just going to embrace it. We need to be like Norway. We had the story about Norway. I don't think we actually talked about it on the air, but Norway, they've got the long, long days, and they embrace, or is it long nights? Which one is it?
The long nights.
Long nights? Okay, yeah. So they're short days. They embrace it. They roll it into their lifestyle. They celebrate it. We need to celebrate it.
I just think that Minnesotans are not yet there in the process.
I know Drew certainly is. And he's like, just looking at me cross-eyed going, "You just okay, I'm just going to let you talk."
Norway's,
that's all right. I got a new game for my PS4. I'll just dive into that.
Yeah.
Norway's been around a lot longer than Minnesota has to deal with these things. And get to this
I got a backlog of movies in Plex that I haven't watched.
And as everybody knows, I mean, it was really, really icy yesterday. There was 160 patients admitted to HCMC and Regions Health Partners after slipping on the ice.
Wow.
I didn't go to the hospital, but I slipped on the ice really bad yesterday, too. from Fox 9. Hennepin Healthcare and Regions Health Partners reported more than 160 patients admitted for falls on ice yesterday.
Ouch.
Over 100 of those patients were from Regions Health Partners, while about 70 of them were from HCMC as pedestrians struggled to balance on the widespread ice. Officials encouraged pedestrians to wear proper footwear and walk slowly to avoid falling on ice. You got to walk like a penguin.
Yeah, wear socks.
HCMC told Fox 9 just that socks. They've seen 10 times the normal amount of people because of ice-related injuries.
That's a lot. I mean, you'd have that's to a lot hurt for, that's yourself one, that's badly.
Right. Like, think about how many people slip but don't get hurt.
Right.
Like, yesterday, I was getting out of my car at a grocery store, and I set my foot on the ground and just, put some weight on it to lift myself out of my car and just smacked on the ground immediately. I went from, being in my car to being on the ground instantly. There was no moment to react. But I didn't.
You didn't break a bone.
Which is remarkable.
It is remarkable.
Yeah. That is the most remarkable thing coming out of this.
Oh, you're growing up.
They grow up so fast. Yeah. I'm really glad I didn't break anything. But you think of how many people slip and fall like that. I mean, I felt like. There was a second where I felt like I broke my wrist.
I've only had one bad ice spill, and I'm surprised I didn't injure myself because I landed firmly, right on the point of my elbow and on my knee. That's all my weight came down on my elbow and knee. It hurt so bad, but nothing, it didn't last. It was a half hour later. I didn't even notice it, but yeah, it was painful.
Yeah, and it's crazy how you can have one fall and it feels so painful, but you don't break anything, but then you can have another fall that just, I don't know, it is just as bad or not as bad, and then all of a sudden you have six broken bones.
Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter if you've slipped and fallen. You tell us your story. And we'll get to more of Sam's Top 5 coming up on Justice and Drew. Twin Cities News Talk. Hey, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. It is Justice and Drew along with Sam.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm in a mood today.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're needling.
I know. It's not like me to needle. I'm going to regret it later on.
Why are you needling?
I'm keeping the score.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. I know.
I'm also keeping score. I don't know.
But I'm not needling you. I'm fearful. I will not needle you.
If you are needling Drew, it is just as bad as needling.
Okay, then I'm going to stop needling because your needling stings.
We did leave off in the midst of Sam's Top 5, powered by Early Bird Electric.
Number 2.
The number of House Democrats announcing their plans to skip President Trump's State of the Union address today grew to 4.
4?
4.
4?
Whoa.
Which, if you look at the number of Democrats that boycotted it last year was 14, so we'll see.
More will be added to the list, and let them. You know what? If you don't want to go, don't go.
Yeah, who cares?
If you're going to be petty like that, it's, if you're going to be lame, then be lame.
It says more about them than it does about the president.
Oh, absolutely.
From the Hill. Representative Earl Blumenauer, who didn't attend Trump's address to Congress last year, said he won't be going tonight either. He said the thought of spending Tuesday night in the House chamber listening to the reckless, self-centered man who occupies the White House holds no interest for me. Just like in past years, I plan to skip a speech that will be filled with lies, deception, and divisiveness. Whatever.
It's all just the assumptions.
I don't remember. Did any Republicans skip any of Obama's?
I don't think so.
I don't recall, and I feel like that would have gotten a fair amount of coverage.
Yeah, no, because they respect the office. Blumenauer invited the executive director of the World Central Kitchen, Nate Mook, to attend as his guest, even though he's not even going to be there. World Central Kitchen, founded by celebrity chef Jose Andres, has recently provided meals to hurricane victims and federal workers furloughed during the recent partial government shutdown. Blumenauer said the amount of damage, division, and confusion. Confusion Trump has inflicted on the American people over the last 6 weeks has been a blemish on the new Congress, and I refuse to be a witness to his continued antics.
You should probably resign.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's that troublesome,
right, yeah,
you should probably just resign.
Probably.
And all of those criticisms, it's just all his feelings. That's all that it is. It's just the damage, division, and confusion. It's damage, division, and confusion to that person's feelings.
Trump makes me sad.
Yeah. ETT confuses me.
So I'm going to stay home and watch Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Representative Steve Cohen, who has previously called for President Trump's impeachment, also said that he will again boycott the State of the Union address this year. He said in a statement, "I will not attend the State of the Union once again this year. I'll come to the House chamber for the State of the Union the next time I can hear from a president who will tell the truth about the State of the Union." So I guess he'll be there in like 6 years, probably. If we'll see when Trump's not there, yeah. Maybe.
Maybe he'll get voted out of office before he feels like he has a president who it's acceptable to go to the State of the Union for.
Georgia Democratic representatives John Lewis and Hank Johnson also said last week that they will not attend. Johnson told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, "I have a problem with defiling the speaker's chair in the House of Representatives."
Oh my gosh.
He said, "I don't want to see it lowered, as is what happens when Donald Trump comes to our floor and starts talking about groups of people, particularly Latinos, and disparaging them as a people. I'd rather be somewhere else."
It's just so utterly ridiculous. It's parody. Now,
oh, right,
it's yeah. ridiculous nonsense, right? They've perpetuated this lie enough now that it's just become their own version of the truth. So yeah, don't go.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
These representatives that I mentioned, you've got Lewis, who's apparently a civil rights icon, Blumenauer and Cohen.
Wow.
They were, I don't know. Pinky's down. He can't be that much of a civil rights icon. I don't know. They were among the lawmakers who opted going against the speech in 2018, and I'm kind of curious to see, since these guys, like, you probably could have assumed that they weren't going to go anyway because they didn't go last year.
Right.
I wonder how many representatives didn't go last year but will go this year.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Not that it matters either way, really.
No, it'll be. Well, let's get a little bit further into it before I start wiping out on a commentary.
Number three.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going to bring a Kavanaugh critic to Trump's State of the Union from the Associated Press.
Is this one that didn't lie?
Right.
She's just one who yelled at Jeff Flake.
Oh, okay.
From Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going to the State of the Union, probably because she doesn't want to risk missing an opportunity to be on camera. She's bringing a guest. Her guest for the State of the Union address is a woman who cornered Senator Jeff Flake on live television to protest his support for Brett Kavanaugh. Anna Maria Arquila, who lives in the Star Freshman Democrats New York district, said that she will wear white and a pin that the congresswoman gave her that says, "Well-behaved women rarely make history." Arquila, co-executive director of the left-leaning Center for Popular Democracy, said, "I never thought I'd be excited about being in the same room with Donald Trump." Ocasio-Cortez invited her a few weeks ago. She went on to say, "We talked about making sure that we, with our presence, express the dignity of people who are under attack from this administration, the resilience. We will try to communicate that with the way we show up in the space."
Yeah, again, it's just all stylistic nonsense. It's all style over substance. This was an activist who went and cornered Jeff Flake and, you know, made the squishy Republican, you know, get
extra
all
squishy,
freaky and weird about it. And this has become the other thing about tonight is, who are people bringing with them? Like, there was a whole story written about all the people the Democrats are bringing to make President Donald Trump feel uncomfortable during the State of the Union. It's like, really?
Do they not? Have they learned nothing about him? He does not care. You know, in the face of critics, in the face of people coming after, he does not care at all.
No. He's made that very clear.
That type of stuff does not seem to faze him one bit.
In fact, I think it entertains him.
Well, if you brought Jim Acosta, like, that might bug him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and set him down, like, right, like, put him in Ruth Bader Ginsburg's spot, you know, next to the Supreme Court justices. No, but, you know, that's a really good point, Drew, because this is a further example of the way in which the Trump critics, the anti-Trumpers, attack him. And it continues to be, again, all stylistic. It's all just, you know, for show. It's all theater. Yeah. It's not on policies.
No, they just don't like his personality.
They just don't like him.
They don't like him. They don't like the things he says. They don't like the things he tweets.
Right. Yeah, so
nothing to do with, very little to do with policy.
So they just go after this way. We're going to bring this person to make him feel uncomfortable. And we're going to, it's nonsense.
Number four.
The park board has warned of dangers posed by viewing the frozen Minnehaha Falls in unauthorized areas.
Don't look at them.
Well,
don't look at the balls.
You can look at them.
Don't know. There's a danger posed by viewing them. Don't
people
look.
Like to hype down there and get behind them and all that.
Oh, okay, I got you. So like you can look at them. It's not that dangerous.
From afar.
It's Medusa. Like you're going to turn to stone
it's
or
so
ice.
So cold. I didn't know if your eyeballs would freeze.
No. That's not it at all.
This is a problem every winter. From Channel 5, because of the dangers posed by moving water, boulders, slippery slopes, and other unsafe conditions, a release said it is unsafe to access the base of the falls at any time of year. In winter, the stairs leading down to the creek below the falls are not maintained and are cordoned off. The release said visitors accessing the falls area by sliding down the gorgeous slopes are putting themselves at risk and potentially endangering the lives of first responders who would be called upon to rescue them. Individuals behind and at the base of the falls are also trespassing.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, be careful.
They're pretty enough.
Yeah.
You know, looking at them from above, from the little overlook. It's fine. Just do that.
Number 5.
Super Bowl ratings hit a 10-year low.
Yeah, because it sucked.
The snooze bowl.
Nobody wants to watch Brady anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'd think, see, if the NFL was rigged and they were just going for entertainment value, I feel like they'd get some other team in there. Because you're right. Nobody wants to watch him go and win it again and play in the Super Bowl again.
If it was a good game, would we still be talking about it? I mean, because it really was it was a really bad game. I still think about it. I get bored talking about it. Yeah. It was a bad game.
I was thoroughly enjoying up until I think the Patriots scored that touchdown, you know, because again it was a very good defensive back and forth. It was a well-coached, chess match kind of game with the way the defenses were performing. But once the Patriots scored that touchdown, there was kind of this like, oh well, I guess that's it.
You tweeted we were down and we were in the fourth quarter and I think we were heading towards the 2-minute warning, and you tweeted out, well, bummer, you know, this game's over.
Yeah.
And there was still quite a bit of time on the clock, and there was still stuff that could have been done. And I saw your tweet, I'm like, hey, we still got... No, he's probably right.
Yeah, he was right.
And you were 100% correct.
From Deadline, the New England Patriots' 13-3 victory over the Los Angeles Rams wasn't the most exciting Super Bowl ever played by any measure, but the 2019 NFL Championship game was sure one for the history books. First of all, in the Patriots' third consecutive visit to the Super Bowl, the matchup in Atlanta on Sunday was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever, a dubious honor at best. The record had been held by a Super Bowl in 1973, which saw the Miami Dolphins best the Washington Redskins 14-7.
That was the best Super Bowl ever. I was one. It was great. I remember it vividly.
Secondly, Tom Brady is now the first NFL player to win 6 Super Bowl rings.
Good for him.
Yay. Hey. And they're now tied with Pittsburgh now for the most Super Bowl wins, right?
Is that correct? At six? Six.
Yeah, it's at
I
six. Yeah.
I think you're correct. With the 6th Super Bowl win for the Patriots, the 41-year-old also has been in 9 Super Bowls over his career, more than any other NFL player ever.
Well, maybe he will make something of himself.
He'll finally live up to that potential.
Yeah.
Not bad for a 5th-round draft pick.
Seriously.
When it comes to ratings, though, the Super Bowl this Sunday is not one that anyone's going to want to brag about. Shown on CBS for the first time since 2016, and with ad spots going for around $5 million each, the Rams' loss scored a 44.9 in metered market results, which is not good.
Yeah, it was down, I think, 15%, I believe.
Yeah.
A pretty significant drop from last year in the lowest rated Super Bowl in the last 7 or 8 years. I don't remember exactly.
Well, and you can't completely blame the game performance itself on that, because there was, I mean, initially there weren't enough eyes on the game to start.
Yes, exactly.
For the ratings to be that low, you need to bring everybody. Like, you know, if they brought everybody to the table, most people were going to hang out. A lot of people just didn't even bother to come.
There's been a lot of hay made about, you know, rating NFL ratings, and they had been down for a couple seasons, but they did bounce back overall for this season. The rating NFL saw a little bounce back in ratings, not a huge one, but they were up a bit overall for the course of the season. But yeah, I do think that that the Patriots being in the third consecutive Super Bowl probably turned a lot of people off.
I mean,
you know, America gets bored with dynasties quickly. You know, we get very ready for other teams and to sort of, you know, and this happens in all sports. When the same teams are winning and playing in the championship games over and over and over, you know, people get kind of bored with it.
Yeah, man. When Jimmy Johnson was winning all those NASCAR championships, everybody was rooting for him to lose.
Sure. I mean, Patriots fans love it, of course. Yeah. You know, they're thrilled. And I would be, too, if it were a team that I liked even a little bit. But I don't.
Were you guys keeping up with the outrage that was all over social media yesterday about Adam Levine being shirtless?
So great. All this is so funny.
So first, you've got Twitter, people on Twitter and Facebook too. They were questioning why Adam Levine can be shirtless at the Super Bowl halftime when Janet Jackson couldn't.
Look, okay, dumbest controversy ever. Yeah. A man can be in public with his shirt off. A woman can't. We haven't changed that yet, right.
Societally
speaking.
Been the norm for a very
just
long time.
The norm.
It's You're
welcome to believe that it is unfair, but it is the societal norm.
Right. We're just not there yet. Someday, but not yet.
I look forward to the day.
There was also a post going around, and Chipotle even retweeted it, where people were saying that Adam Levine's torso looked like a Chipotle bag.
This is easily my favorite story of like the past month. the whole comment, and you can go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page if you want to see what it is that we're referring to. Because when I first saw it, I was like, what? And then I went, oh my gosh, he does look like a Chipotle.
He does. Because they've got like all of the letters and the symbols and everything all over the place. And that's what he looked like. And yeah, I mean, Chipotle retweeted it on Sunday night. The fast casual burrito chain retweeted a post shared by Twitter user PagePierce15, who simply wrote, Adam Levine with his shirt off looks like a Chipotle bag. And they had a picture, a side-by-side photo of Adam Levine and a Chipotle bag. And other users began responding and sharing side-by-side comparisons, with some writing, I see it, or I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought the same.
It's hysterical.
Another also joked that he couldn't unsee the image after it was pointed out.
If Chipotle does not hire him immediately to cut an
ad where
he delivers Chipotle with his shirt off... Right? That's the ad!
He wants Chipotle delivered by a shirtless Adam Levine.
What? Who doesn't? I think John would agree that he would appreciate a shirtless Adam Levine.
I would take a Chipotle burrito from a shirtless Adam Levine. And I say that with a staunch record of heterosexuality.
Yeah, it's unsanitary.
What?
That is unsanitary.
It's just skin.
Here's what this is something that I will never quite comprehend. It's like, you're a dude like Adam Levine. Why did you do that to yourself?
Because he wants to.
Like, tack yourself all up?
Yeah.
Because he can. Because he wants to.
You know, that California, all that stuff's just going to stretch and win. It's just going to all
sag.
Well, and the other thing that, the other, like, viral thing with Adam Levine being shirtless was everybody, like, I saw a bunch of different people that were, like, posting, and the guys, only guys, that were posting photos of themselves with, like, their hometown written on their stomach.
So funny.
Yeah, I'm getting Eden Prairie tattoos.
That was so funny. Because what his stomach said, California.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, California across his stomach. And I saw people posting a bunch of different towns and states. I'm pretty sure that Steve-O from KDWB also did one.
Look, I get it, man. I don't have any problem. You want to get tattoos, that's all fine and dandy.
You should get buffalo tattooed across your torso.
Yeah, there you go.
Why don't you get buffalo tattooed across your torso?
I don't live there.
I just don't.
Maybe you like buffalo sauce. I don't know.
I can't relate to why you would turn yourself into a Chipotle bag. I know you have the right to. It's cool, but
I've heard people say that getting tattoos, there's almost an addiction.
Yes,
like once you get one, you get two, you get three, suddenly you just have this urge to get more and more and more.
There's a female friend of mine who I've known for many years, and very much the same. I should probably ask her, because she's the same thing, right? She's a beautiful woman, but she's just covered now.
That's a choice. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
I'm sure that Adam Levine didn't wake up one day, make an appointment at a tattoo parlor, and say, "I want to look like a Chipotle bag."
We should
I really love these bags.
Or maybe Chipotle tried to make it. Like, how long has he had his tattoos? Maybe Chipotle modeled their bags after Adam Levine.
I'm telling you, man, they're missing out a golden marketing opportunity. That's hysterical. You know what?
If they didn't get him on the phone immediately to book that, they're crazy.
If you're Adam Levine, then you get mad. Do you care?
No.
People are talking about him. Like,
I don't think, if you're Adam Levine, not much should faze you at this point.
I would assume that he knew that by taking off his shirt on the Super Bowl stage, people would be talking about
How great would it be if he was, like, super sensitive?
He spent the last 2 days just crying.
Why did I take my shirt off?
These tattoos are very meaningful, meaning in different, in very specific ways.
California.
I can't eat Chipotle. How do you think I stay ripped like this?
Excellent job, Sam.
It's just about my body.
Thanks.
They didn't talk about my music.
Hour two of Justice and Truth coming.